Possible Poetry, ein Podcast über neue Welten und Wege in der Poesie mit Dirk Hülstrunk. Possible Poetry, a podcast about new worlds and roads of poetry with your host Dirk Hülstrunk.
Ein paar Quadratmeter Messestand. Nur ein paar Quadratmeter
to Possible Poetry's special edition at Radio X Frankfurt.
Nur ein paar Quadratmeter Messestand.
Possible Poetry at Radio X. My name is Dirk Hülstrunk, and I'm very happy to have here an extra special, a book fair special of Possible Poetry, which is actually a podcast. But now it is a guest project for Radio X. And this episode will be completely in English because I have English-speaking guests with me. So I hope you understand everything. First time I do a Possible Poetry special at Radio X because it's really my podcast project, which has gone on for a while for international poetry. And you can check it out on Podigy. It's Possible Poetry, and it's also on Spotify and on YouTube and many other podcast platforms. And this radio show today is live on Friday, the 20th October of 2023. So if you hear it at any other time at Radio X, it's not live. And so it will be in the Radio X archive for 7 days, the 7 day archive. And afterwards, it will be transformed to an episode of my podcast, Possible Poetry. So just if I say Possible Poetry quite often, it's just to remind you where to look for this specific episode. If you just Google Possible Poetry podcast, you will find this episode then later on. The interesting thing is also that for the first time, the music I'm playing here was designed especially for book fair and for a book fair radio show by special sound artists Josef Bercek, aka Ol Brent, and Tobias Schmidt, aka SZMT Project. And they really designed it for the book fair. And you could hear, we had some discussions in the recent years about right-wing publishers on the book fair. And so that was part of that sound collage of Josef Bercek in the beginning. They each composed two pieces about the book fair, and then they both remixed their pieces. So if we have the time, we'll listen to four pieces. But if you don't have all the time, we will listen at least to the two original tracks they designed for this book fair. But let's talk about the book fair 23. It's especially in a couple of respects, it's the 27th anniversary book fair. Book fair is always a huge thing in Frankfurt, and for anyone who's new to the book fair, it's very hard to decide what to do on the book fair, where to go, really. And if you don't really have a starting point, I think it's always really fantastic to use the guest of honor as a starting point. Every year there is a guest of honor country, and this year it's Slovenia, and they will have a complete pavilion right near the entrance with a lot of different literature they display. There is live discussions going on, and I'm very proud we have two guests here from Slovenia also, and we will talk a little bit with them. My first guest I would like to introduce, it's Nika Kovac. Hello, nice to have you here.
Hi.
Nika, you're actually part of a interesting project. It's called Poetry of the Day, Voices of Tomorrow, and part of the organization hosting that project, it's called Pionierski Dom. Maybe you can, in the first place, tell us what is Pionierski Dom, what kind of an organization is that?
It's not a literary house, it's not a publishing house, it's not a place which would usually be connected with literature, but it is like a big magical institution in the middle of Ljubljana, which is a main city of Slovenia, and its purpose is to educate kids and youth in different artistic forms, in languages, to organize different events. But also Pionierski Dom has this philosophy to always open the door for ideas, to always listen to the people who come and want to do something, want to change something. And one day, Anja Zag Golob, I think one of the best Slovenian poets.
We had her here in Frankfurt also. She's quite known here. Yeah.
Yeah. So Anja just jumped into our office and she said, I have a mission for you and for me. And this mission is to bring poetry, contemporary poetry, to schools. I don't know how to enter schools. I don't have the access to teachers. I don't have access to different educational institutions, but you have. Can we create a project which would bring poets which are alive to the classrooms, present them as idols to the kids, and start to encourage them to read more poetry. And you cannot say no to Anja. So we yeah. wrote a big European project. We found partners from Poland, Hungary, Finland, and Serbia. And that's how the project started to exist. And its main goal is to bring poets to school with new kinds of reading poetry and connect them with school teachers. And we hope that we will encourage schools to do this on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about it is it's not just to bring poets in schools, but you originally designed it as an international project. So it's not just Slovenian poets to go to Slovenian schools. But why this idea that you need to have this project as an international project?
One reason is that in Pionierski Dom, we believe that we can learn a lot from different experience, from different contexts. And we always believe that we need to watch across the borders, that we need to connect internationally to achieve a change. And that our mission is to change the school system and to bring more poetry there. And the second reason was that Europe can give money for such projects.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the important aspects of this project is also that we really want that all the poets are paid. It's also like our silent resistance to precarious conditions in which artists are living every day. And for us, it was also important to have funding to do this in a way that they can at least pay a couple of bills with the work that they're doing with us.
I think that's a really good reason to start a huge, crazy-sounding project, actually, with international poetry. And so now you have five poets from different countries you're cooperating with, and the project is called Poets of Today, Voices of Tomorrow, which is a really nice title. And so how did you get to these kind of poets? your partner poets from
So at
these
the
countries.
Beginning, me and Bianca, who is leading the project with me, we had a plan to invite cities of literature to join the project. But it's a unique project because you need to have everything in the project. You need to have the access to the poets. You need to have access to schools. You need to have energy to mix them together and to bring together two different social groups, which are usually not working together. So a lot of cities of literature said we could do only the project with just the poets, but we cannot work with the teachers. Mm-hmm. Because in the project, we organized different workshops on which poets and teachers work together to establish a special methodology of educational practice to bring poetry to schools. So a lot of people said no. And then luckily we found like five crazy institutions who are willing to try it with us, and this is how we found them.
Mm-hmm. And so now we have like poets from Poland, Smalgorzata Lebda right now. It's from Finland, Harry Hertel, and it's what else do we have? Radmila Petrovic from Serbia is there, and
Marton Simon
from Hungary, and of course Veronika Dintinjana from Slovenia, who's also here in the studio. Hello, Veronika.
Hi.
It's great to have you here as well. So one of my questions would also be, what are your experiences with this project so far? What were the biggest challenges, and how do you think the way to present poetry in schools has to be changed? What has to be changed there?
Mm-hmm. One thing which Anya is always saying is that poetry is complex, because sometimes you need to put additional effort to read the poetry, and this effort will bring joy to you at the end. But you need to try extra hard to become aware of this special power that poetry has. And in the world which is full of TikToks, which is full of like quick pleasures, we need to put additional effort to explain to the people that it is important to train reading of poetry. And we try to develop different ways to encourage teachers from schools to read more, because we realize that in everyday life and with the big amount of work that they have, they are not reading a lot. So we try to find different ways to encourage them to make poetry part of everyday life. Anya's advice was to write a poem and put it on the window of your car, so to have it when you wait to the traffic light or in your bedroom. And I think that the first thing which we needed to overcome was this moment of admitting to ourselves that we don't actually put effort to read poetry. And the second moment was to discover how to do it and how to find a way to teach the students to do it also. And I would also say that teachers are a special kind of animal, and poets are a special kind of animal. Mm. So bringing those two groups together was also like a challenge for us. But I have to admit that on the first meeting, when we had both of the groups together, we organized, for example, speed dating for them, where they were talking about the favorite books and everything. And it was so lovely to see how teachers became excited to invite them in classrooms.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds really fantastic. But I think it's not easy really to work in schools, because they're really huge institutions, and it's they have their rules, and it's not so easy to work with these rules. So what were your experiences then in the classroom? How does it work in the classroom? Is there some special idea how poets work with the kids then?
Yeah, we will go to the classrooms in a couple of months. But what I can already say to you is that, like, we have different countries in the project. Like, for example, in Finland, they're used of like talking about different topics to open up the identity questions, to speak about LGBT poetry, to speak about gender, to speak about fight for better society. Then we have here Serbia, Hungary, and Poland, which have a totally different political background. So a huge part of the project is also how to protect poets who are writing about that kind of topics from being attacked because of it. And I was also personally really happy that we have this project, because when Serbian president said that they do not want any topics connected with LGBT. For example, in the schools, we knew that we have a project which will present that kind of poetry also to kids. So I see the power in the project in opening up different topics, bringing the poetry. And we are really excited because teachers are really looking forward to those events, and they are starting to ask us if we can do more of them. So maybe it will be like a good future. There is a good future for the project.
I hope so. And it's not only a poetry project. It's also a book now. You did a lot of translation work, like with five different languages, and you have this crazy book with poems in five different languages, and it just came out for the book fair, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So we published the first book. The second one will also come out of this project. So in the book, we collected poems by leading poets of the project. We translated them to five languages, and some of them were quite a challenge to find a Slovenian translator to finish. It was like really a hard job.
I can imagine.
Job.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
you're training them now.
Yeah, we are training them. And why we wanted to have this book especially for Frankfurt is because we believe that poetry needs to be translated, and we want to give a chance to editors who are deciding about what kind of poetry they want to publish to basically get a book where they can feel a little bit of poetry from our poets. So one focus of the project when we were preparing it was also how to sell rights for poetry in different countries. And we are really happy that, for example, Radmila Petrovic, who is the Serbian poet, will publish a book in Slovenia. So those connections are starting to bring us some fruit.
Mm-hmm. And how do you get this book? And can you just order it somewhere?
So basically, we do not sell the book. We will have it tomorrow at Frankfurt Book Fair. We have a last event there at Finnish stand at 11:30. So all the people who will come, I mean, if there will be too much of people, not, but like, we will give them the book for free.
And it's a beautiful book, so go there. Tomorrow at the Finnish stand at what time was it again?
11:30.
Well, that sounds pretty reasonable. So you can get up and go to the book fair at 11:30 to the Finnish stand, which is always great because I always have some vodka somewhere hidden. I know that. And also we have this great Finnish poet, Harri Hartl, with us. And that's very good. And I know that you are a little bit in a hurry because you have a Zoom conference, Nika. So thank you very much for explaining about this project to us for Radio X. And I'll have a little bit of music that was designed for us. And now this time it's music by Tobias Schmidt.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
ist natürlich die Frage, wenn junge Menschen natürlich für die eine verantwortlich abgeben wollen oder kooperieren können, weil das haben sie alle den Nachbarn für möglich. Das ist nicht das, was ich tun kann. Das ist nicht die Schlüssel.
Svet Frančišek, rasti v nebo, dokler ne postaneš drevo, poln prebranega dežja in prhke zemlje. Kaj ti more veter, ko se odeneš v cvetje? Neponovljivost je tvoje žezlo, ne zlato, ne srebro, nista dala telesa za mizo, za posteljo. In ko pospijo ptice v tvoji krošnji, se ne premakneš več. Abecedo znamen zamenja molčanje. Saint Francis. Grow into the sky until you become a tree, full of select rain and light soil. What can the wind do when you dress up in blossoms? Singularity is your scepter. Neither silver nor gold have given their body for a table, a bed. And when birds in your crown fall asleep, you stir no more. Silence replaces the alphabet of signs.
Sankt Franziskus. In den Himmel wachsen, bis man zum Baum wird, voll von verlesenem Regen und bröckligem Erdreich. Was kann der Wind dir anhaben, wenn du dich in Blüten kleidest? Die Unwiederholbarkeit ist dein Zepter. Weder Gold noch Silber gaben ihren Leib für einen Tisch, für ein Bett. Und sobald die Vögel in deiner Krone eingeschlafen sind, rührst du dich nicht mehr. Das Zeichenalphabet wird ersetzt durch Schweigen. Ja, das war ein Gedicht von Veronica Dintignana. This was a poem by Veronica Dintignana. So, welcome to the studio here, Veronica, and now officially. And we really started with this one poem in three languages. First we heard it in Slovenian and then in English and then in German, of course. And Veronica, you have been part of this Poets of the Day, Voices of Tomorrow project. And also yesterday there was a poetry reading, or actually more like a performance, in International Theater in Frankfurt, where you were also part of that with the four other poets. And so it's really a huge project. And I would like to ask you first, what was your experience with this project? Is it the first time like you did this kind of performing poetry yesterday, or is it something you do on a regular basis?
Not exactly the first time, but probably the first time in this kind of setting. So with four other poets in four other languages. So this was, and of course, I don't think I ever been part of something that has some sort of drama structure to it, which is more complex. Because if you're on stage performing on your own, or you have an open mic or a slam, it's a little bit different. It's you and the audience. This was more like a harmony piece. Mm-hmm. So, you know, different voices. We had to listen to each other, respond to each other. So I think this was really exciting, a little bit terrifying at first, but wonderful.
Mm. Yeah, because we just talked with Nika about this necessity to present poetry in a different way, especially for kids, of course, but maybe also for grown-up people, for regular people. And that was one of the attempts to do it. And maybe we have to explain a little bit what really happened in this project. So there were five poets from different countries having their poetry in different languages, and they were sitting kind of in the audience in a cafe-like setting.
Yeah, we were like sleeping agents
in the audience, and so the audience didn't really know who was the authors, and so when they started, it was kind of a surprise, and sometimes they got up, sometimes you were sitting and reading. And in the beginning, we heard only the original language. So people who only spoke like German and not Slovenian or Finnish or Hungarian, they didn't really understand a lot, but it still sounded like a dialogue. That was really fascinating, like a real dialogue. And it was fascinating just to, I could have watched it for quite a while with no understanding really. But then, of course, we brought in the translations a little bit later, and so it opened up and some more information about the project. So that was one way to create a new approach to poetry, I think.
What I really liked about this approach was that it kind of abolished this invisible barrier, you know. Mm. There's poets on one side, and there's this empty space, and then there's people who come to listen.
Yeah.
So, and this is sometimes very formal, very, very rigid, very sort of doesn't let the sort of perhaps, you know, it's very different when a poet sits next to you and starts telling you the poem.
Yeah.
I think some of the people were a little bit shocked, a little bit maybe like, should I move? Should I just make some space between me and the poet? Will it bite? You know, like maybe not too sure, because poetry is maybe a little bit dangerous, maybe a little bit unfamiliar, maybe just, you know, smells a little new.
Yeah, we talked about smelling poetry actually yesterday. So that was an interesting concept, and I hope you will continue doing these kind of things. But I didn't really introduce you at all. So you're Veronica Dintignana from Slovenia. You're a poet, a translator, and what is really fascinating, you're also a surgeon and a practicing surgeon. And you started out in the poetry slam scene, I heard. Is that correct? Or you did poetry slams also?
Yeah, I did. A couple of times. I thought it was really at the beginning was like, okay, we need one more, you know, and my friends who were organizing it, okay, you will join. Yeah. I said, no, then I did. So it was a thrilling experience because it was improv without text. So
so that's even more thrilling. I can imagine. Yeah. But then you already published a book in 2008, your debut, and it got a prize at that time. I think it's now also in German. We have it, but it doesn't have a publisher yet. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, it's in German. It's Gelb brennt der Forsythienstrauch, and I think it's very nice that I think it's the Slovenian Writers Association that publish it.
It's sort of a sample.
They create these samples, the Slovenian Writers Association. So if you ever come to Ljubljana, to the Slovenian Writers Association, they have a great building, actually. And they have a kind of a library with translated poetry books, which is fantastic. And I hope you will find a publisher for that piece as well. And also the other interesting thing is that you did organize the Mlade Rime Festival, a festival for young poetry. Maybe can you say something about that?
It's more of a reading series. It goes on for the whole year from September to basically June. And its idea is to make room for new voices because it started like 15 years ago. And at that time, I was much younger, of course, 15 years younger to be exact. And there was not really a lot of opportunities for new poets coming in. No. So we had to like create our own platforms to be heard. So, and I kept doing it because I feel it's important that people who start writing have an audience, have a space where they can, you know, maybe the poetry sucks, you know, at the beginning often does. So, and my best sort of the thing I love about Mlade Rime the most is that sometimes when these people return after, you know, maybe a couple of months or a year or two and they're writing completely amazing stuff. And, you know, I thought this didn't really sort of seem that promising. What happened? You know, like, oh, wow. Yeah. And so, you know, sometimes the potential doesn't always look like that when you see it for the first time.
So you have to give it just a space to develop, really. Yeah.
I think young people, and I think not just young, but also new people, because this is not age limited. So it's also open to people who are older but have not yet presented their work. So it's not just for young.
Yeah.
So, although the word Mlade means young, but it's for new voices. So
it's like an open stage, or is it somehow curated, or how do you do this?
It's not curated. It's basically 5 to 6 slots per night. People apply. That's it. And they can do with their 8 to 9 minutes whatever they wish, as long as it's not hate speech. That is not tolerated. And we do not tolerate really long performances. So we do, you know, we have to be respectful of other people's time. But other than that, you have a poem, well, read it. If the public will like it, they will like it. If they hate it, they will tell you. And maybe that's a good experience too. So, you know, it's open yourself up for the reaction. This is the challenge.
Yeah, I think it's always a very, very good idea to have these open platforms. We used to have more open mic kind of things here in Germany as well, but it kind of faded out because of the poetry slam scene, which is actually quite open, but it's of course a competition, which is also different and maybe deterring some people who are really starting out. So yeah, I really love this concept of a completely open mic space, and I've also seen poets really develop very fast. And I guess you need this contact with an audience that is not just your friends. That is maybe important, and just to meet, see what other people do.
And we do often invite other like more established poets to be as guest readers. So they get the same time. So no special treatment, at least most of them. There are a few exceptions. But just because sometimes it's nice to see after the reading when the younger and the older, or the newer and the older get together and talk about poetry, about experiences. So I think it's important to mix different levels, different ages, different statuses. So I think this is the flux of information is really good for poetry.
And it's still going on?
Still. Every last Monday of the month, the place is a squatted place. So it's called Platz, which is Platz, but with a C at the end, not with a Z. And yeah, so it's a pretty open space and it's a really nice adventure.
Yeah, so if you can't find a open stage in Germany, travel to Ljubljana and you'll find Platz there for yourself. You're also translating a lot, and I read that you're translating Louise Glück. And also some poems by Pablo Neruda.
Yeah.
Which is quite a different thing, you know.
So well, I love both of the poets. Yeah. They're very different, of course.
Yeah. So how why these two, really? How did you get to translate
those? Well, Louise Glück was... I just fell in love completely with that poetry. I translated it, and then I tried to find a publisher for 7 years. And luckily, when I was already ready to give up, I found a publisher. So that was in 2011 or 2008. So it took a couple of years for the book to materialize. But if somebody told me then that she would get a Nobel Prize.
Yeah, of course. Maybe those of you who are not so familiar with the poetry scene, Louise Glück, she got the Literature Nobel Prize in what year was that?
I think it's 2021, I think, yeah.
Was it 21?
See, I don't know. I should know that about
my poem.
Yeah, I should.
Yeah. But anyway, she got the...
It's such an unimportant award, you know.
She got this award and finally got... She got noticed. And I know... I didn't hear about her before that. But then I knew Ulrike Dresner. She's the German translator of Louise Glück. And so I heard about that as well. And unfortunately, I think she died last year.
She died a couple of days ago, last Saturday or Friday.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So maybe you should check out Louise Glück.
You definitely should. She is about the best you can get in poetry right now, and I think for many years to come. So
yeah,
might not be to everybody's taste, but if you don't try it, you won't know.
Hmm. Okay. And you can either read her in Slovenian now or in German. If you want to do this, you can find translations by Ulrike Dresner. Veronika, I want to ask you, I think it's your first time at the book fair now.
Yeah. So the first time at Frankfurt.
So what is your impression? Because first I wanted to ask you, is there something special there? But then it's the first time, everything is probably special somehow. But is there something that was really surprising to you?
Just the size. Just the size. I come from a small country. Our book fair is so much smaller than at least, I mean, yeah, you wouldn't, well, it's it really doesn't matter, but I was impressed by how many people work with books, you know, how many, you know, this is a huge, so books are not dying. This is a terrible lie. They've been saying that, you know, they're on their way out. They're not.
Yeah.
They're quite alive. And I think, well, in this world, they're making money.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's always a fascinating thing how many people are active there and running around. And of course, this was the first book fair after all the corona restrictions. And I think there was some necessity to go there, you know, for people. I remember yesterday after the show, we also talked about, with other poets, about this idea that poetry should poetry be just completely free by itself, or should it be part of creative solutions for the future? So what would your positions be? Create activist poetry for ecology, for other topics, or do you think your poetry should be something else just for itself?
Well, I think poetry can be whatever it wants to be. I don't think it's the one thing that will break all the rules, even the rules that, you know, to break the rules. So some poetry will break no rules because it has to break the rule of breaking the rules.
Yeah.
So I don't believe in impositions on poetry. I don't see it as a this should. It's probably the wrong way to approach poetry. Mm. I think the way I see it is from the other side. I think poetry is about what can be, what is. And, you know, it's about listening. It's about taking in the world, taking in the world inside of you as well. It's just, it's like you're, it's about being present in the moment, in yourself, in the world. So whatever it needs to be for you to be present. Some people need to be active out there doing something. Other people need to be active inside and, you know, doing something on the inside. So it's really not for me to say. And it's a wonderful thing. There are so many different approaches to poetry because everyone can find something there for themselves. You know, somebody might not like my poetry, but there's millions of other poets out there writing. And I'm sure somebody's writing something that will please, you know, whoever is looking.
And about your own poetry, is there a specific approach to that you could tell us about?
Actually, I like to think of, you know, poetry as like poetry and the poet as the horse and the rider, but the horse is the poet. So the poetry gets up and rides the poet, not the other way around. So, you know, the poet doesn't know where the poetry is going, but they're doing it together. And this idea that the rider is somehow superior or, you know, dominant is really wrong. If, you know, it's actually a collaboration. And if the horse doesn't want to go someplace, you won't move at all, you know, unless you try to force things. But this, in a normal situation, you won't move. So it has to be both. The poet has to be ready and the poetry has to come. So, yeah, and I see it like that. And then you move in whatever direction the poem wants to go. Because if you want to force it, and I should write about this, or I should, this is my opinion. It's not about intellectual interventions in the world. Of course, the poems are intellectual, but it's not the direct route they take. It's like, you know, I think it's Pound who says that poems move through space like cats move through a room. Never in a direct line.
So when is that horse ready to go usually? I know that you have a quite fulfilling job as a surgeon. So when do you feel the necessity to write a poem?
I don't know. I don't know what happens. I don't know. Maybe after we finish, I'll have to sit down and write a poem. Hopefully not. I have other things to do.
So it's always also some distracting thing is poetry writing. It distracts you from other things to do, yeah.
No, it is good to find the time to write. So it does take, it's, you know, it's not just, I make it sound light, but it's not, it is work. It is concentration, it is focus. So it's not just something three lines I scribble.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more to it than that. But what I'm trying to say, it's not the intent that is driving the writing, but my skill and my technical awareness is in service of the poet.
Okay, and I saw that you have quite different topics in your poems, and like you have this St. Francis topic, and you said you come from a Catholic background, is that?
Grandmother was, on one side my grandmother was very Catholic, on the other side my grandfather was a communist, so.
Oh yeah, that's a good combination, I guess. Interesting combination, at least.
I think the world is always... reality is always a mix, and usually of impossible and incompatible circumstances. So,
I asked you this yesterday, of course, because it's so very obvious, this question about your job as a surgeon and your poetry, how this how is there a connection? Does one thing influence the other? Maybe this time I will ask you, does your poetry somehow influence your work or your approach to your work? So?
Well, I think, or I would like to think, that because of it, I am a better doctor, that I listen more emphatically, that I basically that I am a better healer and a better person because of it. I know it's a long stretch, but I think it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine that. We talked about healing yesterday as well as a very important possibility of poetry. Maybe not just I want to do it, but it happens. You know, if you have poetry, it can be healing, you know.
I think poetry is, you know, takes different parts and, you know, harmonizes them in something. It is new, a structure that is, you know, made of words, but also of other things. So in the way it makes things whole again is what probably allows us to reconnect with some parts of ourselves.
Of course, there were poets who said poetry must be a machine gun. You know, there was a German poet who said that. I'm not quite sure about healing in this way, but he was a beat poet who said that in the 1960s. So he said it must do something really to distract the everyday
but
life.
But I would say that, you know, scalpels can be pretty sharp, can't they?
Yes, yeah, that's true. Maybe before we finish this show, do you have another poem maybe we can hear from you?
Sure. But
maybe you can do it just in two languages.
Yeah. Oranževec pred hišojo zenitu. Poslušam odsotnost vetra med listi in neobljudeno popovdne. Zaradi treh stvari puščam pa okna priprta. Zaradi štirih zapiram vrata. Zaradi lune, ki razbeljena zacvrči, ko jo kovač potopi v vedro. Zaradi jutra, ki prebledi, ko ga obraz pogleda sonce. Zaradi dneva, ki zardi v noč. In zaradi praga. Namesto stopinj ga bodo obrusili cvetovi. Trije se dvigajo v nebo. Štirje so šli brez najmanjšega šuma. Šla je gorilna nitka v žarnici. Iz glave mi je ušla prekinjena vrstica. Skozi priprto okno se je pririnil hlad in za mizo si je prostor našla večerja. Štirih stvari ne morem dojeti, treh ne pozabiti. Oblega kamna na obali. Kot otroka me je naučil razlikovati levo in desno koleno. Levo in desno stran ceste. Bolečine, ki je bila vseobsegajoča in je minila hip za tem. Ljubeznivega morja. Vsako noč ga sanjam, čaka me pred vrati. Po dnevi pošilja galebe in druge slepo odgovor. In drevesa, ki zahaja nad svetom. Ni moč videti, kdo se vrti okoli koga. Po dolžini sence določamo smeri neba. Po dolžini korakov, katera ura noči je. The orange tree in front of the house is in the zenith. I listen to the absence of wind in the branches and the unpeopled afternoon. For three things, I have let the window shutters open. For four, I close the door. For the glowing womb, which hisses when the blackness sinks it in water. For the morning, which turns pale when the sun peers in its face. For the day, which blushes into night. And for the threshold, there will no longer be feet to shine it, only petals. Three, ascend towards the heavens. Four, have left without the slightest sound. The filament blue in the light bulb, a distracted line has vanished from my head. Through a half-open window, the cold came in, and supper found its place at the table. Four things I cannot comprehend. Three I cannot forget. The round stone on the beach, which taught me as a child to tell my right knee from my left, one side of the road from the other. The all-encompassing pain that left me a moment later. The kindly sea I dream of every night, that waits for me at the door. and by day send seagulls and other messengers for an answer. And the tree, which is setting over the world, you cannot tell which revolves and which is still. By the shadow's length, we set the sky's directions. By the pace's length, we know the time of night.
Yes, so this was another poem by Veronika Dintinjana from Slovenia. And if you don't get it immediately, you have to listen to this show again, and which is actually possible because you'll find it in the Radio X archive for the next 7 days and also in the podcast. So thank you, Veronika, for coming here. And it was a pleasure to have you here.
It was a pleasure being here. Thank you.
Please check out Poetry from Slovenia. I think everyone's talking about that poetry is so strong in Slovenia that we hardly can believe, because in the book fair, usually poetry is very much like a niche thing, very much. But this year, it's very present everywhere. There's poetry, and a lot of Slovenian poetry is going on there. And I think tonight even there is a reading of a Slovenian poetry at the Frankfurt Romanfabrik. And there is a great poetry anthology, Mein Nachbar auf der Wolke, in German, which is curated by Matthias Göritz, Amalia Maček, and the poet Aleš Steger from Slovenia. And so you should definitely check out this anthology if you don't know anything else about Slovenian poetry. Are you actually in that?
Yes.
You are. So, yeah, if you want to read Veronika, you can also check out this anthology. So this is the one book I would really tell you you should try to get. And it's really fantastic to have this wealth of poetry coming to the book fair. And this, as a poet, I just love it, you know, because I always felt at the book fair I'm in a very strange position, because it's always about other kind of literature, but never about poetry. Oh, it's only very, very small part. But this year it's very different, and thanks to Slovenia. And it's also a lovely country, and I've been there last year, and so yes, please travel there, go to the new rhymes Mlade Rime in this quarter place or other places in Ljubljana, and they have fantastic poetry events there.
And read every day a poem.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Read a poem every day, maybe it changes your life. So we are about to finish this special edition about the book fair. Actually, I was going to tell you a lot of things about the book fair, what's going on there. It's 75th anniversary, and also the big scandals we all have at the book fair, which are actually partly due to Slovenians. Well, you all read about this Slavoj Žižek speech.
Slavoj.
Yeah, and I thought maybe you would tell a joke, but we don't have the time. There are Slavoj Žižek jokes out there, and I think there's even a book.
Yeah, you should find it. And if not, there are plenty online, and some are serious, so be careful.
And so this really shows that, the honeycomb of words, as you, the motto this year, the Die Waben der Worte, well, they're actually inhabited by stingy beasts, you know, like little bees that have stings and they can sting you. And maybe one of these bees is a Slavoj. And the other speech I found very interesting in the beginning, at the opening night, was the poet, I have to check her name.
Miljana Cunta.
Yeah, because she was speaking about loneliness as a necessity of writing. Do you think so? Is that?
I think it would probably be solitude.
Solitude, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, solitude.
And I think it's a necessity of life. I think if we're not alone enough, We do not know how to be honest with other people. So you have to be first with yourself, and then you can be with others. So this is important. And poetry is a discipline that challenges you to be and bear with yourself, you know, not run away.
Mm. That's, I think, a very good for finishing off this radio show about the book fair Frankfurt. Thank you very much for coming here to the studio, Veronika. We're all heading back to the book fair right now. If you want to listen to this episode again, as I said, you can go to the Radio X archive the next 7 days. And then after that, you can find it in the Possible Poetry podcast, which is on Podigy blog. Podigy is a podcast hoster, but it's also on Spotify, YouTube, and all the podcast platforms you can imagine. So it will be out there for a while to check it out. Thank you very much also Tobias Schmidt and Josef Bercek, who composed the music for this radio show. And we'll hear one remix of the first piece we heard. And this is a remix by Tobias Schmidt of the piece created by Josef Bercek, and which is also about the book fair stands, the right-wing book fair stands somehow, and political discussions. So thank you very much for listening. And we'll finish off with these tracks from Tobias and Josef in a kind of remix. My name is Dirk Kühlstrunk, and hope to hear and see you.
Thank you.